Okay, so we'd like to talk today, the time that we have, about the topic of Mosif al Hakosos. And just before that, one quick Osafa, what we said yesterday, so we're talking about different approaches to the question of why the Sefer HaChinuch would say that women are obligated in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Midin Torah. And how exactly could you explain why it's not a mitzvah seisha as monogramma? So as I mentioned, Rabbi Tzvika Reisman has an essay about this in his Sefer Ratz Kitzvi, where he talks about the practicalities of women organizing a Seder, and he goes through many fascinating answers about this. In his last paragraph about it, he quotes his son, my good friend Eli Reisman, who suggested that maybe this is related to an idea that we find elsewhere. That Parshas Truma, a few weeks ago, we read about the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. And there, the Rambam writes that this is a mitzvah that applies to men and to women. Applies to everybody. And many Mefarshim ask that seems to be that it's a mitzvah seisha zman grama, because we find that we don't build the Beis HaMikdash at night, and we don't build the Beis HaMikdash in Shabbos or Yontif. So these are the same limitations that you find by tefillin, and yet tefillin is the paradigmatic mitzvah saseh shazman grama. So why should Beis HaMikdash be obligatory on everyone? So there are many different approaches to it, and the one approach is that because Beis HaMikdash is a communal need, it's really a mitzvah on the tzibur, and a mitzvah on the tzibur applies to everyone. There's no personal exemptions. So perhaps also when it comes to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, because we see that that's not limited to an individual, but it's something that is interactive and it's something that involves communicating with others. We mentioned yesterday a slightly different spin on that idea, but here it's coming from a different direction. So therefore, perhaps it's something that's obligatory across the board on a communal level. It doesn't speak to an individual obligation, and therefore perhaps that's why the Sefer HaChinuch assumes that it's applicable in that kind of a sense. Okay? So far, so good? Okay. So now, let's transition to talking about the concept of Mosif al Hakosos. And it's a concept which we saw agav the issue of Heseba, but before leaving Daf Kufches and getting more into Kosos issues, just wanted to clarify, or to the extent that we can, what exactly is it about? So you'll recall some of the Rishonim, prominently the Rush, and a few others, brought up the question of whether Haseba is Ma'akev in the Dalet Kosos, and if you're concerned about that, so should you redo a Kos that doesn't have Haseba? And the Rush and some others mentioned the issue that it may constitute the appearance of or the actuality of being Mosif al Hakosos. So we wanted to understand what is that issue of being Mosif al Hakosos that appears there and appears in a few other places. So one place where it's alluded to, very, very briefly, is the top line on our Daf and Kufchesim at Aleph, where there the Gemara says that Bein Kosos Halalu, Imratza Lishtos Yishtev, Bein Shlishi Lirvi Lo Yishtev. There you should not drink between the third and fourth kosos. So why shouldn't you? What's the issue with drinking in between kos number three and kos number four? And so what's the problem? So it's not clear. So we find different views in the Rishonim. If you look at the Rashbam, right, so the Rashbam writes, Shlishi de Berchas Amazon, since we're not looking anymore to work up an appetite, lo sharinale, so no justification for it. It looks like we're adding on to the Dal Kosos. So the Talmud Yerushalmi, quoting here, has a particular angle, that it's a practical concern, that we're afraid that you'll come to get drunk, and it's going to interfere with your finishing up the Seder, with your finishing up Hallel. And even though we've had a lot of drinking so far, but that was together with food, and now it's not going to be together with food anymore, and it's a part of what they tell you about in the driver safety classes, about the relationship between intoxication and drinking with food, without food. So there, if that's the point, so you're more at a risk of drinking afterwards, so therefore no point in drinking anymore, it could interfere with it. So according to the Yerushalmi, it seems like it's only a practical consideration. But what about the Rashbam? Right, so here the Rashbam is apparently telling us there is an issue of Mosifa HaKosos, and that's the same point that we see the Rosh mentioning in talking about whether we should reduce something that is missing Hesebah. So what is the concern of Mosif HaKosos? What's that about? So on the surface, the first thing that comes to mind looking at the word Mosif would be Bal Tosif. Right, is there a prohibition of Bal Tosif here? So that requires a lot of clarification. Now, first of all, we don't really know that language, let's say the Rashbam's language, is necessarily telling us that it constitutes an Isser Bal Tosif, because the language of Nira Kamosif already kind of takes it down a notch. But one could infer from here that there is a concern of Bal Tosif, which would be a Chiddush, because it would indicate that there's a concern of Bal Tosif even when dealing with Mitzvos Derabanan, which is not obvious. And we wouldn't necessarily take that as a given, that the Torah's prohibition of Bal Tosif applies when adding on to Mitzvos Derabanan. There are a few other sources that kind of sound like that. Each one is subject to some analysis. You don't really have it as a slam dunk in Gemara and Rishonim. You do have it a little bit in some Achronim. But in the earlier sources, you don't have it in an unambiguous way. But where else do you see it? Perhaps where do you see it most clearly in Rishonim? Right, so it's a little bit synergistic and maybe coincidental that here we go once again back to Purim and the issue of Yadala Tesvav. But if you saw the Mordechai, Mordechai raises this issue in the context of reading the Megillah on Yadala and Tesvav because of Sveika Dioma. So there, the Mordechai raises the issue of Bal Tosif, that we didn't institute Sveika Dioma in Purim because we want to avoid Bal Tosif. So that maybe is the closest to sounding like there is Bal Tosif by Drabanans, but like we said a minute ago, none of it is unambiguous. So there's a lot to figure out about that Mordechai. First of all, there are some who raise the point that maybe that's not a Drabanan. Right, as we talked about a few times last week, coming up in various contexts, that maybe Megillah is not treated like a Drabanan, maybe it's treated like Divrei Kabbalah, or Kal v'chomer from Hallel, wherever you want to come from it, that maybe it's not a proof that in general there is Bal Tosif by Drabanans. The Mordechai is also difficult, because you have to figure out why is it treated differently than Yom Tov Sheni in general, where we don't worry necessarily about Bal Tosif. Now, speaking about Yom Tov Sheni, another source which also is subject to a lot of interpretation, not slam dunk either, is the Tshuvas HaRashba. If you saw that, I added it relatively late in the morning. But the Tshuvas HaRashba, very short Tshuva, you can see it pretty briefly, but still leaves room for some suffix. That in Chelek Aleph and Simen Samach Aleph, the Rashba has a tshuva about what would be the status of one putting on tefillin on Yom Tov Sheni. So there, he mentions the concern of Baal Tosef, and mentions the klal of kol d'tikun rabbanan kein d'raisa tikun, that Chazal enacted their mitzvos, as we've also mentioned in the past, to parallel mitzvos d'raisa. So here it's again not clear that he's necessarily saying there's Baal Tosef in a d'rabbana. It sounds like he's talking about Baal Tosef d'raisa, of an extra day of wearing tefillin when you're pater, and that just because that would in general be a Baal Tosef consideration if you would add on a day to a chiyuv, since Chazal had the power vested in them to ordain Yad Tov Sheni, and in doing so set it up like a d'raisa, and a d'raisa you don't wear tefillin Yad Tov Sheni also, so there would be a problem of Baal Tosef in putting on tefillin and Yad Tov Sheni. So there he's not talking about adding on to a d'rabbanan, he's essentially talking about the Baal Tosef on the tefillin, on the d'raisa. So that source is also somewhat ambiguous. Another possible source, which also given to some discussion, if you saw the Rif in his comments in Maseches Brachos, there he talks about the idea of somebody, say the clock changes, this happens often when schedule changes in terms of when you can daven mincha and when you can daven ma'ariv. So let's say somebody usually goes to an early mincha, and or usually goes to a late mincha and then he goes to an early mincha. Somehow his schedule changes, and he finds himself davening mincha a second time. It happened to me today, actually. I daven early on a Tuesday, and then I go back to the shul. And sometimes I've been confused by that. So you can find yourself davening mincha a second time, forgetting that you davened the first time. So the Gemara says that if you realize that in the middle of your Shemona Esrei that you already davened, so you should just stop. Don't finish the tefillah, you just stop. Now, even though there is a concept of a tefillah's nedava, that theoretically, under the right circumstances, one could decide to daven an extra tefillah, but that doesn't work here, because that has to be the plan to begin with, that it's a voluntary tefillah. To daven because you think it's an obligatory tefillah, that can't convert in the middle to a nedava. So therefore, this extra unnecessary tefillah has to stop in the middle. So that much is from the Gemara, but the Rif adds on that the tefillos are keneged the tmidim, shachars and mincha are to correspond to the korban tamid in the Beis HaMikdash, and you don't bring an extra one of those. That would be Baal Tosef. So here, it sounds again like a possible source for Baal Tosef when dealing with tefillah, that tefillah is drabbanan. Jack?
So you have this concept of mirat, ke Baal Tosef, on a d'oraisa level?
Yes, we do. And that's why it's a little bit ambiguous also, all of this lashonos of nira kamosif and actual mosif. So that also adds a layer of ambiguity. It's not 100% clear how many nafkaminas it would have in this context when we're dealing with daraisas. So presumably it has consequences for whether it would be a daraisa or a darabana. Would you be actual Baal Tosef and that looks like Baal Tosef? Here, not dealing with the deraisa itself, we have to figure out, and maybe we'll have a little bit more to add to that in a minute, but whether we're talking about the real Baal Tosef or Nira Kamosef, like the language of the Rashbam here, is probably another level of ambiguity here. Are we really saying that the Isser Baal Tosef is relevant? Or are we saying, no, it's just something that we, in general, avoid because of the appearance of Hosef?
What would be an example of that?
So we'll see. I just want to get some point. Try to get this in the time we have. So this issue of Mosif by Drabonans, maybe the Rif is giving you an example there. But that's again ambiguous. Because you could say that he's just telling us that Tefillah is to correspond to the Korbanos. By the Korbanos, if you would add an extra Tumid in the afternoon, that would be Baal Tosef. So it doesn't make sense to say that I can add an extra obligatory tefillah in the afternoon when it's all paralleling the korbanos. The same way, I can't add a korban in the afternoon, so too I can't just add a second mincha that would be categorized as tefillas chov. Now that kind of parallel, it's interesting, because it comes up also the question of whether you can do a tefillas nedava on Shabbos. So some shittas hold that you can't do a tefillas nedava on Shabbos because they didn't do a korban nedava on Shabbos. And others would respond that no, they didn't do a korban nedava on Shabbos because bringing a korban involves malachas, so they can't voluntarily bring a korban and do malacha on Shabbos, they can only do the obligatory korbanos. But the tefillas nedava, which is only paralleling the korban nedava, and it doesn't involve any malachos, so that shouldn't be a problem on Shabbos. So it kind of goes to the question of how much the tefillas nedava is rooted in the model of the korbanos. So maybe what the Rif is saying here is that by the korbanos, that would be baltosif. So to have a tefillah that's going to parallel that, it's going to be connected to a baltosif issue. But does that mean that in general there is baltosif by the rabbanans? That's also still somewhat of a question. So we have a handful of sources in the Rishonim that evoke the idea of baltosif on a level midrabanan, but none of them are 100%. None of them are unambiguous. Nonetheless, there were a number of achronim who, coming off some of these sources, did take that as a given. So, for example, the Chuvas Hisorus Chuva, one of the early Chuvas in Chelek Aleph, understands that you have Baal Tosef on the Rabbanans, and there is a essay about this also in the Sefer Siach HaSada, which is the third volume of the Chuvas of the Kadjag Lever Rav, what we've mentioned in the past. This picture is on 5A in the library. So the Kadjag Lever has an essay about this. He also works off the premise that there is Baal Tosef by the Rabbanans as well. So it seems like there is room to wonder about this. Is there indeed a concept of Baal Tosef by the Rabbanans? So in order to clarify that question, should first consider the broader question, which we've talked about a little bit in the past, whether the Rabbanans themselves are a violation of Baal Tosef. The fact that Chazal made new mitzvos, so does that violate Baal Tosef d'oraisa? So presumably not, because we are rabbinic Jews who believe in and observe rabbinic laws, so we believe it's justified. So why is that the case? So here there are various views in Rishonim. Many Rishonim feel straight out that the whole concept of Baal Tosef doesn't apply to Chazal because, as we've discussed in a number of contexts this year, Chazal are given a mandate to create dinim. The Torah tells us in Parsha Shoftim, Lo Saser, as the Rambam understands the power for rabbinic authority. More to the point, when it comes to Xeros, the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Achrimos, Ushmartim es Mishmarti, that we have to take steps to protect the dinim in HaTorah. So many Rishonim understand that there is no issue of Baal Tosef for the institution of dinim d'Rabbanan. Others are a little more specific about it, that maybe Davka in the context of Gezeros there's no issue of Baal Tosef. New mitzvot require more explanation. And that gets into the whole discussion we recently had about what's the justification for Purim and for Hanukkah and for positive enactments of Chazal. The Ramban writes in his commentary to Chumash that theoretically making a new mitzvah could constitute a Isser of Baal Tosef, and we need to justify Dinim D'Rabbanan. According to many of the Rishonim, Baal Tosef is only adding in within a mitzvah. So if you have an extra part of your lulav or an extra parsha in your tefillin, so that would be Baal Tosef. But to add a whole new din, that wouldn't necessarily be Baal Tosef. The Ramban disagrees, and the Vilna Gaon said the fact that we have actually two sources in Sefer Dvarim of Baal Tosef, the Torah tells us twice. It says one is to not add on within a mitzvah, and one is to not add on a whole new din. So the Rabbanans then require justification, and Lo Sasser might be part of it, Shmarati Mishmarati must be part of it, Purim and things like that may have their own sources. That becomes a more complex discussion. The Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim understands that it's all about presentation. That he talks about this example of chicken meat, chicken and milk. If you can have a chicken cheeseburger, that's a prohibition midrabbana. So that, he says, Chazal are allowed to do. But if they were to give the impression that their enactment is actually the din of the Torah, so that would be a violation of Baal Tosef. So apparently, according to the Rambam, the Menachas Chinuch talks about this at some length, you could have an issue of Baal Tosef with new mitzvos midrabbanan, but what saves it is that there should be a clear demarcation that this is not min haTorah, this is an institution of Chazal. And some explain that that's why we have concepts such as Sofek Derabanan Lekula, that we have different attitudes in Halacha for Dinim Derabanan than we do for Dinim Daraisa, even though, according to the Rambam's own position, Dinim Derabanan are all rooted in the Torah, in Lo Sasser. But nonetheless, some explain that the Chazal Davka set it up that way because they needed to. They had to put in kulas in order to avoid Baal Tosef. So that's a little background in the general issue of whether the Rabbanans themselves constitute Baal Tosef. So what does that tell us about the Dinim Derabanan? Should Dinim Derabanan have their own concept of Baal Tosef? So another question just to keep in mind, maybe to consider it from a Tamei HaMitzvos perspective, what is the reason that the Torah prohibits Baal Tosef? And that could also affect the general question in Rishonim of when Baal Tosef applies. So one attitude that some of the Rishonim sound like is that it has to do with the perfection of the Torah. Right, the Torah is a very specific balance, and we don't understand how the parts come together. And to start tampering with it in either direction, Baal Tosef or Baal Tigra, is going to undermine what the Torah's message is for us. To try to make our own judgments about, we'll tweak it here, we'll tweak it there, is going to have an impact that we don't necessarily appreciate. Well, the Torah Tamima has a different take on it. And he writes that essentially, seems like it's another example of a Gezeirah min haTorah. That really, Baal Tigra we can understand. Right? The idea that we can't subtract from the mitzvahs of the Torah. Right? That we get. Right? So you're doing less than what the Torah says. So that doesn't need so much explanation why that should be problematic. Baal Tosef, you would think, what's the harm? So to that, he suggests that maybe one is to protect from the other. That theoretically, you're right, that Baal Tosef shouldn't be a problem. It should be good, just to do more good is even better. But once you start thinking you can do that, so then you'll think, okay, if I can add, I can take away. It's all subject to my own judgment. And the Baal Tigra that we understand, that's going to be a consequence of that kind of thinking. Hi.
I don't get why would one think that adding is just another thing.
Why would one think that it could take away also?
No, just adding. Adding is just being a good thing. Like,
well, you might think in general, okay, mitzvahs are good, so more good is better.
Even
so,
though it's not a mitzvah.
Yeah, but you might think that, okay, well, we also discussed this a little bit in some consequence, in some circumstances, like for example, the question of whether you should eat more matzah Pesach night. So there is such a svar, right? So the idea, and it could even raise the specter of some of these things. You have to determine what constitutes Baal Tosef, right? So the Rishonim discuss whether doing a mitzvah twice is Baal Tosef, or just doing more is Baal Tosef. So if it were, so then that would be a problem for what we've seen here, that Achronim, who maintain that eating more matzah Pesach night is valuable, so that could have the shmek, so to speak, could have the smell of Baal Tosif. So one could also take that logic and say, okay, a 4 parashios in the tefillin is good, 5 parashios is better. So one might think that, and maybe what Tara Tuna is suggesting is maybe in a Hanami, maybe it could have been true on some level. But once you start thinking like that, then you could also say, okay, so I think I get this, and I can figure out what's better and what's worse, and therefore I could start subtracting a little bit. So that whole notion that you could have that kind of control, that's going to be dangerous. So one has to clarify, so do these svaras apply to dinim derabbanan? What do you think? Does it make sense to apply these concerns to dinim derabbanan also? So it's a little unclear. I think the question of the balance and the idea that the balance is out of our understanding is an interesting question, whether to apply that to dinim derabbanan also. We saw everything synergizes back into itself when we were talking the other day about whether afhein applies on a level min haTorah or not. If we mentioned a few days ago that the Maharal understands that the idea it shouldn't apply to daraisas is that it's one thing when Chazal make an enactment so we understand what it's about, then there could be a svara to say it should apply this way or apply that way. But the Torah's rules, even when we think we understand them, we don't necessarily understand them. And therefore, we don't have the ability to say, well, it's for the Nes, and Afhein Hayubosu a Nes should create a Machayit. And a general in Dorshin, time of Dekra kind of attitude. So maybe Dinim Daraisa are more resistant to our tampering with. Dinim Darabanan, maybe a little bit less so. But it's certainly not Mukra. So why would we say that there is a din of Baal Tosif by dinim derabbanan? So one way to say it is that called the tikkun rabbanan kein deraisa tikkun, that if the Torah has these policies, so the rabbis maybe likely had that policy also in their dinim. In one sefer, he wanted to suggest that this all connects to the question that we've talked about in the past about dinim derabbanan and the nesivus and the like, whether dinim derabbanan is just a general idea of not rebelling against the authority of Chazal, but there's no cheftza, there's no object that has a status because of a dinim derabbanan, or should we say no, that they actually do have the ability to create a cheftza of a mitzvah, and the view of the smag was that dinim derabbanan should be counted as part of the 613 mitzvahs. So one sefer wanted to suggest that maybe that's the question, that if you believe a dinim derabbanan has an independent status as a mitzvah, so then maybe it's more rigidly defined, and the notion of adding on within a mitzvah that you have by Baal Tosif min haTorah would apply to derabbanans as well. But you could also maybe add on a different point. So we established a little bit what are the reasonings for dinim derabbanan themselves not being a violation of Baal Tosif. So presumably that also affects a hosafa, that if we come from the perspective that a dinim derabbanan could have been Baal Tosif, except for whatever reasons, such as the license given to Chazal in general, or the Rambam's point about presentation, so then maybe we have to worry that that's still true by any detail we would add on. That it's one thing for the din that Chazal actually made, but if we would add on to a din derabbanan in a way that Chazal themselves didn't, so then maybe that would be Baal Tosif Daraisa, meaning the din itself is not the Baal Tosif, because Chazal had whatever license they had whatever explanation we utilize. But anything beyond what they actually did, maybe that would constitute Baal Tosef on a level of Minat Torah, which is an interesting possibility to consider. And a nafka mina may be the issue of Baal Tigra Darabanan. Do we say that Baal Tigra should apply to a Darabanan? If you just say it's Kain Daraisa Tikkun, so then presumably yes. But if the issue is that it goes back to being Baal Tosef Minat Torah, so that wouldn't necessarily follow if you did less. So I think that would be an interesting nafka mina. Is there Baal Tigra Darabanan? How exactly do you explain the Baal Tosef issue? So all of this is assuming, or positing, that most of Falakosos is an issue of Baal Tosef. Is that the only way to explain it? No. So just to say very quickly, because I'm keeping everybody late, and stay tuned for find out the schedule tomorrow, but you saw that the Ran doesn't really say Baal Tosef. When the Ran talks about this, he brings up other explanations. It'll look like you're starting your Seder again. It'll look like you need another Pesach Matzah Marer. It means that your Pesach wasn't Ala Sova. So it sounds like he doesn't think Baal Tosef is really an issue. Now, it's interesting, they have a Sefer with the comments from Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, where he explains why it wouldn't be Baal Tosef. He says, just doing a mitzvah again, according to some Rishonim, is not Baal Tosef, or the drinking wouldn't be Kavana L'Shem Mitzvah. So it sounds like he thinks that there could have been Baal Tosef Midrabanan, it just happens not to apply in this case. And again, the whole language we find in Nira Kemosif, that itself creates some kind of suffix, what we're talking about. So just to mention very quickly two other explanations, and I'll let you go. So with Dustin Gestetner in his Sefer, Dustin Pirio, so he understands that if we believe that we have to have each kosh connected to a mitzvah, so then if you're going to have extra kosos, it means that the mitzvah is basically going to be split now between two kosos, and you don't really have a perfect association with that mitzvah and a kos. And maybe that's the concern. It's not about Baal Tosef, but it's going to impinge on the mitzvah kos relationship. Another theory, one we mentioned a little bit before, is that if a number is supposed to represent something, so then that number has to be precise. So if we understand the Dalek Kosos as specifically four, it's supposed to have a symbolism of four, so then it could be that adding on is like adding on a Hanukkah candle, which seems to be a bad idea, even though that was a machlokus as well. But the idea of having five candles on the fourth night of Hanukkah, because more is better, so maybe sometimes more is better, but if it's supposed to represent something, so then more is not better. So if that's the idea here also, four is supposed to mean four Lashonah Segul or the like, so then to tamper with that is an issue, not because of Baal Tosef, but because of what it does to the mitzvah. And this is all ironic because I'm violating Baal Tosef by going overtime and keeping you waiting, so I apologize for all the timing issues this week, and you see, just to do some performance art and to illustrate the symbolism of what Baal Tosef can do. We don't always say Hareza Meshubach, so I'll let you go now. Stay tuned for the schedule tomorrow, and you should have a wonderful day. And, good is good, more is better.